Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
What came next is intended for mature audiences only. Episodes discuss topics that can be triggering, such as emotional, physical, and sexual violence, animal abuse, suicide, and murder. I am not a therapist, nor am I a doctor. If you're in need of support, please visit somethingwaswrong.com/resources for a list of nonprofit organizations that can help. Opinions expressed by my guests on the show are their own and do not necessarily represent the views of myself or Broken Cycle Media. Resources and source material are linked in the episode notes. Thank you so much for listening. Hi, friends. This is Amy B. Chesler, and I am very excited to be here with you today because this is our first Q&A episode in quite some time. I just looked back, and it seems like we haven't done a Q&A episode since February of 2024. So thank you for joining. I have been collecting questions from you guys, mostly from our social media channels, which you can find us on Instagram at whatcamenext_podcast. Some of the questions are related to what came next. Some of them are related to Broken Cycle Media, and some of them are just personal. So I'm really excited. Gonna dive right in. The first most common question that I receive on all platforms, in email, everywhere, is where can you submit to be on What Came Next? That is a great question because we are definitely always taking submissions. The best place to start when you're submitting your story is going to somethingwaswrong.com/submissions or head to the website and just click share your story. I also accept submissions on my own social media platform or via DM, although the best place is the Something Was Wrong website because it does cache your submission through the website. We're emailed a copy of it directly and then it goes to the whole team. So if you do have any interest in submitting your story to either Something Was Wrong or What Came Next, we highly encourage that. The next question that is sort of related, and I love it because I think it gives you a peek behind the curtain, if you will. Somebody asked, where do we record? Quite honestly, everybody on the Broken Cycle Media team does record remotely. I am in Los Angeles. The rest of the team is elsewhere around the country. To be even more specific and to lift the veil even further, I do record at my kitchen table, which is why my cats sometimes go insane because I'm on their territory. Even though they're not allowed on the table, the chairs are very much theirs. I also really love to be transparent about that because I did build myself a little egg crate box. It stifles the outside noise. I did just recently move, and my new place is not quite as soundproof than where we were living prior, so I did have to get creative, but I am very proud that I have rigged up a pretty nice setup. I have two cats. I call them my pod cats because they tend to like to get into the middle of every interview that I have, and the box kind of eliminates that outside noise. Also, my neighbors are really loud sometimes. When I moved in, I was pretty worried about that, but the box takes care of that too. So if anyone wants me to give them instructions or explain how I built it, just send me a message on social media and I'm happy to explain. I love to share that because I think that if you have the impetus to start a podcast, if you have the interest in storytelling, and this seems like a platform that you're interested in, the threshold to access of making your own podcast can be lower than, let's say, a TV show or something. In relation to that question and our guests on what came next and something was wrong, we do have protocol set up for giving our guests some best practices for recording. We can't always adhere to it. Sometimes audio can be a little variable, but generally, in order to get the best quality interview that we can, we will send a headset to our guest, and that headset will look like a call center headset with a mic built in. And we'll advise our listeners to find a smaller room with less windows, more carpeting, and that will reduce echo. Some of my guests have found creative ways to get the most optimal sound. It definitely can be a little bit of a juggle sometimes, but that's one of the challenges of podcasting, but it's also one of the things that keeps it interesting too. Another interesting question that we received was, what is the longest recording you've ever had? And how long does the average interview take? Most episodes of What Came Next are 30 to 45 minutes, but that's definitely not what we're recording. Most interviews are about an hour and a half to 2 hours. So we're looking at shaving down almost half an interview. And that's not losing any important pieces, but a lot of ums and likes. Of course, guests and I will chat about things that either are related to our opinions or things that just don't need to end up in an episode. It's likely that we might get into some other side conversations, but for the most part, each interview does take about an hour and a half to 2 hours. However, we have definitely taken more time, and it doesn't really depend on anything but the guest. If the guest has the time, the energy, and the desire to share and to keep going, then I will give them as much time as necessary. If we have to, sometimes we will complete one recording and then say, you know what, we need some more, and then spend another additional recording as well. But that is rarer. Really, it is just about figuring out what the story and guest needs. I would never push someone to record for too long. However, I will give them as much time as they require or want in a conversation. Although the average interview is about 2 hours, I will generally slate about 3 to 4 hours for a recording with some cushion time just to be sure. I would say the longest recording that we've ever done for What Came Next is 5 hours. And that was a very deeply thought-provoking conversation, as all of them are. I've done my best to pair the questions that are related to each other. And so the next question is actually super related to the last one. Someone asked, how do you decide if an episode will be released in 1, 2, or 3 parts? We've never had a What Came Next series of episodes longer, although it is possible. If we do take on a story that requires more, especially if it's original reporting, then we would definitely give it the time. But the way that we choose how many episodes are devoted to each story is largely based on what the interview needs to be told properly. We're never going to stretch a story past its limit and make it more episodes than it needs to be, because that's not the purpose. The purpose is to highlight everything that our guests want us to highlight and what is necessary for the story to be told ethically. We do our best to really do the story justice, especially since most of the people that we are interviewing haven't received as much justice as they would like to receive. Someone wrote, what are some of the most shocking statistics you've learned in the process of making this podcast? I will say, any chance I am given to cover a story or a crime that we have not yet covered, and I'm doing research in statistics so I add more contextual information at the end of the episode, I am learning. When I think of statistics and things that are shocking to me, the first thing that comes to mind is Hannah Vanderhorst's episodes and the statistics on the lack of safety protocols in dating apps and websites. As someone who is dating and who's navigating that world right now, it deeply informs the way I traverse it. As we shared in a recent Something Was Wrong episode where we offer some community updates, we did also answer some Q&A questions, and one of them was about dating. As much as I'd like to divorce this work from some aspects of my life, it's nearly impossible, especially when it comes to dating. Other statistics that are shocking to me, most recently we had on Bruce Bieber, and he explained to the audience about OIDV, or officer-involved domestic violence. As much as it's a phenomenon that we've heard about in the news, I didn't even have the name for that. So that's another thing, not only statistics that are gutting and shocking, but just labeling the abuse. Another episode that comes to mind is Tabitha Ross Brown. She reached out to me after finding my story on Something Was Wrong, and she created a child-to-parent violence awareness and resource nonprofit organization. When she reached out to me and said, "I found you when I was Googling child-to-parent violence," I said, "Oh, I lost my mom to that." It was a really interesting thing for me to go through, for me to not have the words for what my family experienced, but for someone just to reach out and offer them. That is another side of what this show is doing and the awareness that it's bringing. I think sometimes statistics can be very valuable information that's not anecdotal, but at large representative, can be really eye-opening and can inform us deeply, but also terms and naming things can be so valuable too. Outside of statistics, which almost always shock me when we hear the prevalence of a crime or a facet of victimhood, the general awareness and the terminology that's being brought to me is also shocking and deeply informing.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Someone wrote in a while ago, and I've been wanting to answer this question for quite some time. What's a type of crime that you've never covered on the show but would like to? In reflection, the first thing that pops into my mind when I read this question is something that I'd really love to be able to highlight on What Came Next is crime that occurs outside of America. We've had the ability to cover several victim stories in New Zealand, Australia. Recently had the honor of sharing my cousin's story, Maya, who shared about the armed robberies she faced, not only in the San Fernando Valley, but also in Argentina. That was very eye-opening for me to research the impact of the socioeconomic crisis that she had to navigate while she was living in that country. I feel like sometimes the news in our country creates this little bubble around us, and our exposure to political climates, to socioeconomic climates, to everything else going on in the world can be minimal. I think that it's really important to highlight the differences in criminal justice processes. I would really hope to be able to highlight more international stories in the future. Otherwise, I am looking forward to covering stories of different natures, but also it's not necessarily about the differences in crimes, it's about the guests. And each guest is so vastly different that I just look forward to everybody I will talk to in the future. My cousin, she is one of my best friends. She's been a huge supporter of What Came Next since it came out. So it was really nice to have her on the show. After we recorded, Maya asked me an interesting question that I thought I would throw into this Q&A too. She asked me what the future of What Came Next looks like. To be honest, I don't think I can predict that. I'm very excited to see where the show goes. I'm very excited to see who we get to interview, whose stories we get to highlight. My survivor community is always growing, and the survivors that I'm introduced to always blow me away. What's really incredible is that one connection always leads to two connections, which always leads to four. So I don't think I can properly conceive of who we might be able to chat with, what stories we end up highlighting. I do know that I have no intention of stopping making What Came Next. I only want to keep making the show better and better and serving the audience and serving society by bringing awareness. I don't think I can properly predict all that will come next for the show, but that's also another piece of what's so exciting about making this show and building this community with all of you. I got a really, really beautiful question quite a while ago that I took some time to think about my answer before I sent it to the person who asked me, but I wrote it down because I thought it was so thoughtful and I wanted to answer it on this Q&A episode too. The question was, how has What Came Next changed your life? I will say, if you had told me 3 years ago, around the time that I was writing my book, Working for Justice, I would never have thought that I would also be podcasting. Sharing on Something Was Wrong season 7 was definitely life-changing for me, but it also taught me this whole new avenue of communication and awareness. After sharing with Tiffany and doing the interview, I think I was exposed to a new medium and I fell in love. We launched 3/3/23, so March 3rd, 2023. That is over 2 years ago. So thank you. If you've been with us since the beginning, I appreciate you so deeply. My life has changed indefinitely because we took that leap together, Tiffany and I. I am now a full-time podcaster. I am an associate producer on Something Was Wrong. I host and produce What Came Next. And I host Familicide on the Forward Network. So this has become such a large portion of my life, and I am so incredibly grateful. I feel I've been gifted the biggest honor that people listen to the stories that I curate and take what we're doing seriously. All of the guests that I've met along the way, each one has changed my life. So I would not only say that What Came Next has changed my life, but the guests and the people that I am able to meet have deeply affected me. I think we're about to hit 130 episodes of What Came Next. I would give just about anything to get all 120 guests in one room so I can just hug them because they really do feel like family. My life has changed also in the sense that we have this beautiful community that I feel is going to change the world. So I'm immensely grateful. I did get a few questions that were a little bit more personal, and I'm super happy to answer them, but I did think I would keep them towards the latter portion of this episode.
After the most recent Something Was Wrong community update episode and Q&A, I had a lovely longtime listener reach out, and we are swapping dating horror stories. Both of us are currently dating single moms. We are commiserating over the difficulty of re-entering the dating pool or putting yourself out there, especially when there is trauma and you have to share that through the process. She asked a really beautiful question, and I thought I would share it with you guys and my answer. The question was, what about something positive? Give me a story where you made a connection that was positive by sharing what you've been through. I know that the negative stories kind of stand out because they're harmful. And unfortunately, sometimes the harmful shit is what stands out to us. But I would say that most people's reactions are positive more than anything. when I share my family history with people either I'm getting to know or that I am seeking to date, I will say about 85% of the time, people offer only kindness and support. Of that 85%, I would probably say anecdotally, 50% will share with me a similar story. Most people are survivors. And I find that more than making people uncomfortable by sharing my experiences, I allow them to open up as well. I've had people share with me that a family member of theirs was murdered as well. Most of the time when they do that, it is also another family member that murders them. I've had people share unrelated trauma. They just felt safe to share their own. It offers us connections and connectors more than things that divide us. Also, beyond connecting with other survivors by sharing, I've had really lovely experiences. I've had people who are fervent supporters built out of the process of getting to know someone and realizing we're not meant to date, but we are meant to be friends. So I would say the positive side of sharing my experiences in dating far outweighs the negative. It's just that the negative stories stick out for sure. Another more personal question was in regards to my estranged family. The question was, have I had a chance to talk to them again? The past several interviews I've done, I've explained that the process of sharing and the process of putting our family history out there has definitely estranged me from some family. To be very transparent, that family is on my mom's side and they do support my brother. They have chosen not to leave themselves open to my book, the podcast, any version of what I am sharing. When they voiced their support of him and how they've kept in contact with him, I finally found that out at the most recent parole hearing. I reached out to them and I asked, what were they basing that support on? I asked them if they knew about the death threat against me, him attempting to hire someone to stalk me and harm me 4 years after my mom's murder, all of these instances of direct harm, even after the sexual abuse. I told them everything. And the response was, no, we didn't know about that. And they kept on talking to my brother. So I have excommunicated them. I've blocked them on all social media. I've virtually cut them out of my life, unfortunately. And I don't really have any room to do otherwise. I do have a protective order against my brother. Technically, if they're in contact with him and they could potentially pass a message to me from him, I have no interest. And plus, it's illegal. So I am in a weird position because it has left my mom's family relatively fractured. We are a small family. My mom was one of two sisters, and the sister that adopted me after my mom's murder, in essence, did just pass away last year. This person that I have estranged is my mom's sister and her children. It has definitely affected the way we navigate things, but something that I've learned throughout my life, whether it's through my brother, my divorce, if there are people who support and represent behavior that is a detriment to my health, there is no space for them in my life. Something that feels painfully relevant to bring up when we're talking about familial estrangement too is the commonality of it. The more survivors I speak to of different types of crime, of course, but also specifically of fatal family violence, it seems to be a very recurrent theme. The more interviews I've hosted for familicide, the more I've realized that a lot of people who experience murder, especially within a family unit, there are burgeoning issues within a family unit based on this loss, based on the way we grieve. Sometimes when people don't respect boundaries, don't respect the way we're navigating our emotions or the criminal justice system, estrangement is essential, unfortunately. I think that just anecdotally reflecting on all of the interviews we've done for familicide, I don't think I've spoken to one person that has not had to estrange someone in their family based on the catastrophic event that happened within that family. So if you are a survivor and you've had to cut family out of your life, you are definitely not alone, sadly.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Another question is one that I get so much, and I do share this whenever I can. I've shared it in a couple ways on the Something Was Wrong feed in updates recently. There was a question, what updates do you have on your brother's parole hearing? It's been a bit of a wild ride. I believe this might be the last update for quite some time, unless something changes. A very, very truncated summary. My mom's murder was in 2007. My brother was sentenced to 15 to life. At 13 and a half years after his sentence, which was only 9 years after he was sentenced, because it took 4.5 years to convict him, he was up for his first parole hearing. At that first parole hearing, he threatened my life. He did not listen to my victim impact statement. That was 2021. By 2023, he was sentenced for that criminal threat against me. He received 6 more years, and he also received another 30 years to life for the attempted murder of a correctional officer. He was still up for parole for my mom's murder, which I know baffles people sometimes. How could he be up for parole if he has that new sentence? But that's just the way the parole works and these sentences work. They are not concurrent sentences. So my brother has to finish his sentence for my mom's murder before he can begin the 30 to life. I believe the 6 years and the 30 years are actually separate as well. So he will begin to serve 36 more years with an additional second potential life sentence. Although what we've seen thus far with a life sentence with his first sentence, that doesn't mean much. He's now received 3 strikes, but he's still up for parole. So once he is paroled for my mom's murder, then he'll begin those 36 more years. However, I don't ever want him to be paroled, because if he is paroled, then I'm no longer considered a victim of his in the system once that next 6 years have completed. So I am looking to basically enter the parole system every single time he's up for it. To close out that conversation, though, in 2023, he did postpone his parole hearing again. He postponed it until 2025. Each time he does that, he was postponing the maximum he could postpone, which was up to 2 years. He was supposed to have that parole hearing in 2025. He has extended it again. I Googled this, and I don't know how accurate Google is, but another website related to parole processes has informed me that there are only 3 extensions allowed. So this is supposedly his last extension. In 2025, I received notification that he did extend his parole for 5 more years. He is up for parole again in 2030. I will keep you guys updated. I will still be collecting petition signatures in that time. I believe the last time I looked, we have about 7,500 signatures, which is amazing, because every time I go and bring those signatures in, there's more and more. If you haven't signed that petition, please, please consider signing it. It is extremely important to me. It comes with me every time there's a hearing. I do believe that the people in the court system are taking note of all those people that are joining me in this fight. That is to say, the next time something comes up should be around 2030, unless something else shifts in the legal system that I am unaware of, although that does happen relatively regularly. So we shall see. It is a waiting game at this point. People have asked me, how are you feeling? This is exciting, right? That's 5 more years of his sentence. The 5 years is another 5 years that he's going to be serving on my mom's murder sentence, but he has requested those 5 years. So it's a really layered position for me to be in when he's got that control. I would like to see him get additional years for my mom's murder. I would like to see him get up to 15 more years in prison, which I believe is the maximum he could receive if he is officially denied parole. And that would give me basically a 13 to 15 year window of not dealing with this criminal justice process. I have never gone that long without dealing with proceedings. The longest I've ever gone
was almost 9 years, and that was after his sentence and before his first parole hearing. I really do hope that there is a long stretch of time coming soon, but only time will tell, and I appreciate your support and your love throughout that time. Someone did ask, if you could say anything to your brother, what would you say? And that is a very loaded question. I almost didn't share it because I'm sort of unsure how I would answer. I'm not in that moment. And sometimes I, especially in terms of my brother, can be a bit reactive. But I can imagine that if given the opportunity to say something to my brother and actually have him listen, which is a very rare occurrence, I would probably make a victim impact statement that he would actually listen to. It is currently June of 2025. My mother was murdered in September of 2007. So it has been nearly 18 years since my mom's murder, and my brother has technically never listened to a victim impact statement by me. I have given them in front of the court. That has not been in front of a jury because there's never been a jury that's listened to this case. Technically, I've given impact statements in front of parole boards, and my brother has walked out. I also gave one in front of a judge and DA in 2023, which Tiffany was present for, and we covered on What Came Next update episodes. But my brother was not listening during that either. He was shouting over me and screaming at me. So I think if I were to say anything, I would have him just listen to my victim impact statement. I don't think he will actually come to terms with the impact of all the things that he's done in my lifetime, but at least it would be relatively cathartic. Another question I got is if I'm ever going to write another book. Growing up, what I dreamt of being was a writer and an author. So it is natural for me to share things through my writing. I am always hashing out those ideas and thinking about my next book, but it is taking a lot longer than I expected because podcasting has taken up a lot of my energy. That is to say, I am working on a next one. I don't have any timeline on when that might be done or coming out, but there has been so much that's happened since my last book came out, and also just so much that I've learned in terms of our journey. It's just taken a lot because writing a book is a hard endeavor. And I do want to say that is another question I get often is just for advice on getting your story out there and or writing. And I will always say, if you feel like you have a story to tell or if you have something to write, just write. I once asked for a piece of advice from somebody I knew that was a writer. I said, how do I become a writer? And they said, you write. So I took that advice very literally. I started submitting and here I am. If you have a story to tell, if you have a narrative, a memoir, please reach out. I have some really tangible steps to take towards getting a book out. A piece of information I like to equip people with is that in order to sell a nonfiction book to a publisher, you don't have to write the book ahead of time. You actually have to write a proposal, which has a really rigid format based on preordained specifications. So if you have that in you and you just want some guidance, please feel free to reach out too. I'm happy to pass along that information and an outline for that proposal because I really think it is helpful. Even if you don't want to go the traditional route of publishing, a proposal template is still helpful because it really does help you get your story out in a cohesive way. A longtime listener and I were having a beautiful conversation the other day about grief and the loss of a loved one, and they asked me what I miss most about my mom. I think that's a beautiful question that I wanted to include in this episode because it touched me to be asked that. I don't often get to highlight the really beautiful portions of my mom. Her murder shrouded so much of her memory and so much of the stories that I tell about her. It breaks my heart that I don't get asked things like that more often. But to answer that question, on any given day, the thing that I miss most is the events that we missed out on. I am a mom of two now, My children are the best humans that I know, and I'm absolutely head over heels in love with them. And I know my mom would be too. So I think the thing that I miss the most is all the things that she missed out on. I miss having a mom. I miss having my kid's grandma. I miss having support. I miss her cooking. I miss her hugs, her laughter. I miss seeing her host a party. She would have hosted probably every single one of my kids' birthday parties. And it would have been the greatest honor to see her do that, because for the last decade of her parenting, I think that I saw her stressed and sad more than anything. So I miss seeing her happy. And I really appreciate that question. Thank you. Another longtime listener recently asked if there's anything new that they can do to support the show. I will say that one of the best ways that you can support the show is by leaving a review. Even if you've already left a review, updating that review and leaving a positive, kind review is such a huge help. Positively rate the show, that would help immensely too. Sharing the show also goes a deeply long way. If you catch your friends ever chatting about true crime podcasts, throwing in what came next into the conversation is a huge way to support, to get the word out there, and to just grow our listenership so we know we can keep making the show. Also, be sure to follow What Came Next on social media. Right now, we only have an Instagram account. That is whatcamenext_podcast. Following along, making sure that you're interacting with our posts. Sometimes posting on that platform can be a little inconsistent because it is a lot to juggle, but whenever you see us post, a like, a share, anything is deeply, deeply appreciated. And that, again, goes a very long way as well. The most supportive thing you can do is listen. Listen to the show. When you see a new episode come out, give it a listen. If an episode resonates deeply with you, listen to it again. We really do appreciate every single listen. Also, if you have any questions, you can always reach out to whatcamenext_podcast or to me directly. That's Amy B. Chesler on all platforms. I do my best to read all DMs. Sometimes DMs will go to my message requests and I miss them. So if you do send me a message and I don't respond, make sure you leave a comment on something so I know it's there. The Broken Cycle Media team would not be able to make this show a possibility without your listenership, without your support. And it just means the world to us because you're helping us bring awareness and resources to the people that need it. And again, for anyone who might want to submit their story to What Came Next, please head to somethingwaswrong.com/submissions or the homepage and click share your story, because it takes survivors like you to build this community with us. Thank you again. I am deeply appreciative of your time. Thanks for joining me on this Q&A episode. If you have any more questions, feel free to email me or to send them via DM, and I will save them for next time. A special shout out to the Broken Cycle Media team, especially Stephen Wack, for the amazing editing you do on this show and all the support that you offer, as well as Becca High, Lily Rowe, Lauren Barkman, Tiffany Reese, and of course, listeners like you. We couldn't do it without you. Thank you again.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Next week on What Came Next.
When season 18 came around, there was this one story about this local woman out of Arkansas involved in a lawsuit with her former employer, and there was something about insurance fraud. It was interesting, but I almost passed on this story. But the more people that reached out to me, the more I realized that this is more than a feud between this woman and her boss. This is the story of decades of documented harassment against people who have nothing in common except for one woman, LaDonna Humphrey.
What Came Next is a Broken Cycle Media production co-produced by Amy B. Chesler and Tiffany Reese. If you'd like to help support What Came Next, you can leave us a positive review, support our sponsors, or follow Broken Cycle Media on Instagram @Broken Cycle Media. Check out the episode notes for sources, resources, and to follow our guests. Thank you again for listening.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.